Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "I just want to do God's will, and He's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land." The following reflection is a tribute to Dr. King as a man of faith who gave his life in the attempt to do what he believed was God's will. This selection is a part of a series recorded in Memphis, Tennessee, in the spring of 2008, the 40th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King. Thank you for visiting www.explorefaith.org.
My name is Johnny Ray Youngblood. I am approaching 60 years of age, and for the past 33 years, I have pastored the St. Paul Community Baptist Church in Brooklyn. And for the past 7 years, along with St. Paul's, I've pastored the Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. There's hardly a day that goes by where there isn't some reflection or reminder of the spirit and works of Dr. Martin Luther King. My first memory of Dr. King is rather painful in that I heard him deliver the speech in Washington, August of 63, I believe it was. I was in New Orleans, Louisiana, 2527 Charbonnet Street, which is no longer there because of Katrina, sitting in what we call the middle room, and I responded to his speech by saying to my mother, "I want to be like him when I grow up." My mother, in turn, walked over to me and put her index finger in my face and said to me, "Don't you ever let me hear you say anything like that again for the rest of your life." 62, 63, whatever the year was, I don't remember my age, but I could not understand my mother's reaction. And then later on, when I kind of asked her about it, she said to me, "Because I knew they were going to kill him, and I never wanted my child to put himself in that kind of position." Dr. Martin Luther King was an inspiration in that, number one, he was a Baptist preacher. There are multiple Baptist preachers around, so just the fact that a man like him could attain the greatness and could affect the change that he did and be a preacher, It enlarged the idea of the pulpit, it enlarged the idea of church work, it enlarged the idea of the church, and it made Jesus's commission to go into the world much more real. Dr. King, without a doubt, was a man not only for all seasons, but for all people. And so he was inspirational and will always be inspirational in that he was African-American, that he was a Baptist preacher, and also the son of a Baptist preacher. Also, Dr. King was and is inspirational in the sense that he gave a new dignity to learning. His language sometimes was so polysyllabic that I would say, as most of the people I knew would say, he's talking over our heads. Nobody knows what he's talking about. I mean, I'd never heard such words as interposition and nullification, and I didn't really know what it meant. And then it one day dawned on me that because he had to speak to the powers that operated this world and that maintained the status quo, he had to speak in a language that they could understand, but at the same time, he spoke for those of us who were the victims of such a culture. So he gave me a very serious appreciation around the idea of loving God with your mind. And then, of course, for the world to honor him with the Nobel Peace Prize just made him larger even than being an American. So when I remember some of his sermons, like The Measure of a Man, he was the epitome of everything that he stood for. it was my privilege and has been my privilege to know a number of people who hung out, who worked with Dr. King. And they are now older men, like Wyatt Walker, who is retired in Virginia, and some others. And it is amazing the reverence with which they speak of him even now. It just so happened last night I was flying into Memphis and I read an article where a gentleman talked about the turning points in his life. And it was very interesting in that he stated that not only had he lost faith because he began to not believe in the literal truth of the Bible. He said that was one point where he started to, I think the new term is deconvert. But he said the second thing that caused him to lose faith was the death of Martin Luther King. While he spoke for himself, I think that this gentleman spoke for people who have not yet themselves actually made the remark that the death of Martin Luther King in America by Americans is far more devastating than anything that this nation has ever really dealt with. Even when we as African Americans look at the heroes that God has allowed to come forth out of our ranks, there is a way that we could understand the death of Malcolm X a little better had it been what happened in Memphis. Of course, Malcolm's death was violent there in New York. But for the prophet of nonviolence, for the prophet of love, for democracy's best friend to be assassinated in the land where love was supposed to be the order of the day, in the land where democracy is supposed to be the hallmark, and yet even now we call ourselves spreading into places like Iraq, and yet a little black man out of Alabama and Georgia who steps forth straight up out of the Word of God, believing. And I remember now part of his high point remark in Memphis was, "I'm not fearing any man, I just want to do God's will." What a ring. "I just want to do God's will. I'm married, but I just want to do God's will. I have children, but I just want to do God's will. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I just want to do God's will." What faith? The philosophers used to raise the question of why are we here? Dr. King not only articulated it, but it was demonstrated by himself, by the Spirit of God, and it was demonstrated by the multiples of people that followed him, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, true democracy, and the evidence of things not seen, the Constitution of the United States. Thank God for Martin Luther King. Thank Martin Luther King for Martin Luther King.
This reflection was brought to you by explorefaith.org, a nonprofit ministry for anyone seeking a path to God. Please visit us at our website, www.explorefaith.org.